for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from Zexant Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a 2019 annual ladies' conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, February the 16th, 2019. Callie Ritchie is the speaker of the evening, teaching on Saul, Control, and the Orphan.
I'm going to talk about a spirit. So we're going to be talking about Saul again, and some of the human characteristics of a controlling spirit. And I know a lot of us, most of us, have probably been controlled or have controlled at some point in our life. So the controlling spirit, or the human characteristic in Saul, has impacted many lives. It has violated many families, personally, emotionally, spiritually, and sometimes even physically. Almost everybody has controlled or been controlled. For some, the concept, we're going to talk about some father issues, father wounds, okay? And so, just listen to the words here. There's a lot of information here, but it has affected us all. A lot of us haven't had a good daddy. So if we haven't had a good daddy, then we don't know how to relate to our Father God. And so I believe that we're going to get some knowledge here in our heads, down to our heart, and that we're going to get to be healed, and we're going to understand and be able to get the revelation of Father as our daddy and become and have a closer relationship with Him. So for some, the concept of a father evokes responses of anger, resentment, and rejection, because a lot of us have not known a kind daddy or a kind earthly father. So we have a distorted view of the Heavenly Father. In many cases, these hurting individuals, some of us, have chosen to simply deny or ignore His existence, or God's existence. Many people experience an emotional or mental block when they try to call God Father. Negative childhood experiences can hold us back in our own understanding of God as Father. Other people have difficulty relating to Him as Father because they have been taught all their lives to respect God and to fear Him, which we are to respect God and fear Him, but those with the wrong understanding of this think that the Father is unreachable and doesn't desire to have a close relationship. They have a formal relationship with the Lord, but fail to understand the depth of the relationship that He is desiring with us. Many with father issues have trouble knowing God as Daddy. They think it would be disrespectful to call our Heavenly Father Daddy. Let us take a look at the Word of God. Let's see what the Word says about our Father. In Romans 8:15, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." In Galatians 4:6, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." So the word Abba is an Aramaic word that would most closely be translated as Daddy. It was a common term that young children would use to address their fathers. It signifies the close, intimate relationship of a father to his child, as well as the childlike trust that a young child puts in her daddy. The closest Hebrew word daddy or Abba may not have expressed the comfort that comes from familiarity, but rather the comfort that comes from knowing that someone bigger and stronger is in control. No, I didn't have that growing up. I didn't have a loving dad. My daddy was wounded and hurt, so there was abuse. I didn't feel safe. I couldn't run to him. I couldn't sit on his lap because it was just perverted. So I had a distorted view of what a daddy was. I didn't even know what a real daddy was supposed to be like. So I just, this was such a great revelation and a comfort and healing for me when I realized that my daddy God loves me. And this is what I would say to you. Do you understand that God is for you? Our earthly daddies may not have been for us, but God, He is for you. Do you understand that He loves you? Do you understand that He will provide for you? He will protect you. And He wants to be with you. He wants to spend time with you. My earthly daddy didn't want to spend time with me, but my heavenly daddy loves spending time with me. Do you understand that you are the apple of His eye?
Amen.
He loves you. And there's nothing you can do to change that. It is life-changing. It was life-changing to me to understand the full force of what it meant to be able to call the one true God, Daddy. And what it meant to be joint heirs with Christ. Because of our relationship with God, we know that He no longer deals with us as enemies. And we can approach a holy God as our Heavenly Father with boldness. We can run to Him. And we can, with full assurance of faith, we have the confidence because of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit who bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Excuse me. The benefits of being adopted children of God are many. Becoming a child of God is the highest privilege and honor that can be imagined. He chose us. Because of it, we have a new relationship with God and a new standing before Him. He deals with His children differently than He deals with the rest of the world. Being a child of God, adopted through faith in Christ Jesus, is the source for our hope, the security of our future, and the motivation to walk worthy of the calling with which we were called. Being children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords calls us to a higher standard and a different way of life and a greater hope. As we come to understand the true nature of God as revealed in the Bible, we should be amazed that He not only allows us, but He encourages us to call Him Abba, Father, Daddy. I think that's amazing. It's amazing to me that a God who created and sustains all things, who is the only all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present God, would want us to call Him Daddy. As we come to understand who God really is, the privilege of being able to call Him Daddy, Abba Father, will take on a whole new meaning for us and help us to understand God's amazing grace. Some of the most common hindrances to our comprehension of the Father heart of God are emotional wounds. These wounds keep us from being able to receive or even understand His love. Unhealed damage from our own fathers can cause us to be hesitant to fully embrace Father God as Daddy. Blocks from damage done by our earthly father prevents us from viewing God as a wonderful Father and Daddy. A little girl with a good, loving, earthly father loves her daddy. She's confident that he loves her She knows if there is something she needs that he is going to help her. He's going to be there to help her. He'll protect her. If she asks him for something she wants, he'll give it to her as long as it's not harmful, as long as it's a good thing. She knows her daddy will teach her things that she doesn't know. She knows that her daddy wants to spend time with her. She trembles at daddy being upset with her, but always knows that daddy loves her and does what is best for her. She knows her daddy thinks she's special. She will be confident in who she is because her daddy has given her his name. So we have our daddy's name. This is the relationship our Abba wants with his daughters. Emotional injury and wounds in the Bible are often referred to as a broken spirit. In Proverbs 15:13, a merry heart makes a cheerful face, but by sorrow of heart, the spirit is broken. Proverbs 18:14, the spirit of a man will nourish his sickness, but a wounded spirit who can bear? So let's take a look at some examples in the Bible that can demonstrate to us a wounded person damaged by this Saul spirit, this controlling spirit. In 1 and 2 Samuel, we read about Michal. The story of Michal, King Saul's daughter, clearly illustrates the pain of a wounded or broken spirit. Her father was an impatient man. He was an insecure man. He also exploded in fits of anger. There's no doubt that she was greatly affected by his wrath. Now, this spirit is like. There's a lot of similarities to the Jezebel spirit. I don't know if any of y'all are familiar with that, but the Jezebel or narcissism, they're similar. Saul's jealousy toward David led him to devise a plot to kill David. As enticement, he offered one of his daughters as the prize to David if he could kill 100 of Israel's enemies, the Philistines. Surely, thought Saul, David will be killed by the Philistines, and I will be rid of him forever. Much to Saul's surprise, David succeeded and killed 200 Philistines. Saul awarded Michal as the prize that day, but David soon fled from another one of Saul's fits of anger and left her behind. Several years later, he returned and found Michal married to another man. Against the will of Michal and her new husband, David demanded her return. She was eventually torn from the arms of her weeping husband and forcefully returned to David. It seemed as if Michal was moved between the men in her life like a pawn in a chess match. So given her upbringing, abandonment by David, manipulation by her father, and being given to another man, it becomes easy to see why she acted bitterly towards David as he danced before the Lord in 2 Samuel, as the ark was brought back into Jerusalem. She despised David in her heart. Hear the word of the Lord in 2 Samuel 6:13. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. So skipping over to 2 Samuel 6:20, we read, "Then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, 'How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovers himself.' And David said unto Michal, 'It was before the Lord, which chose me before thy father and before all his house, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. And I will yet be more vile than this, and I will be more base in my own sight. And of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor. Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children until the day of her death. Michal's response flowed from an emotional wound that had festered into hatred. So forgiveness would have been the medicine. Forgiveness is the medicine that could bring healing, but she chose not to grant it. Spiritual and physical barrenness afflicted her for the rest of her life. We don't have to end up like she did. Because of his father heart, God longs just to renew and restore us through the healing power of his love. He wants to heal us. He wants to heal every wound. So let's take a look at the definition of heart. It's one's innermost being, the essential part. The father heart of God describes that foundational element that characterizes who he is. The scripture describes him as merciful, forgiving, kind, and loving. So God the Father looks like his son. Jesus came to us to reveal the Father and to bring us to the Father. He intended for the family to be a setting in which his love was modeled. His desire is that we would have grown up feeling understood, loved, and accepted, even celebrated. Were you celebrated? Were you nurtured in a loving and secure environment? Did you and do you feel loved, wanted, important, valuable, and good about yourself? Unfortunately, many homes don't meet that ideal. Always remember that fathers and mothers are all broken brothers and sisters, some more so than others. We are never looking to blame humans. We are looking for the reason that the enemy is able to maintain lies in our lives which result in negative behavior, sickness. We will then forgive. We will release all judgment against people, against the ones that hurt us. Repent where we need to and tell the enemy to leave in Jesus' name. This is what we're going to do. People have suffered rejection and hurt from their families and have had no godly, loving father figures with whom to identify. These experiences have kept many of us from knowing God as he really is. Many are hindered from enjoying true intimacy with the Lord. He wants to have an intimate relationship with us. He wants us to be able to talk to him all the time. He's going to talk to us. We talk to him. He'll talk to us. Many of God's children are hindered by this Saul spirit. The Saul syndrome leads to alienation from God and from people. A few of the characteristics that often appear in daily lives with the Saul syndrome are withdrawal and isolation. This leads people to cut themselves off from other people. Withdrawal can be a way of covering up and justifying the refusal to forgive those who have hurt us. And there's possessiveness. It's another one. The mentality of my ministry, my group, my opinion, my job, my place in the church. Control of other people's lives. This behavior is selfish, and it stems from an attitude of unholy independence. It's the me first attitude. It's sin, and it often manifests as an us versus them mentality. It could lead to unholy judgment towards all who have a differing opinion and cause splits in families, factions in church, and overall strife. And there's manipulation, which means to control or play upon by artful, unfair, or insidious means, especially to one's own advantage. Psychological manipulation is a type of social influence that aims to change the perception or behavior of others through underhanded, deceptive, or even abusive tactics. Successful manipulators are known for the following: concealing aggressive intentions and behaviors, knowing the psychological vulnerabilities of the victim to determine what tactics are likely to be the most effective, having a sufficient level of ruthlessness to have no qualms about causing harm to the victim if necessary, and they're unteachable. This causes people to be closed to other people, to refuse to accept correction, instruction, and to become hardened. Critical and judgmental, slander and judging the motives of others in an unholy manner. They're impatient, refusing to wait for others who don't agree or understand like they perceive. Demanding they get their way. No patience for others' viewpoints. They don't trust. They accuse others of not trusting. This is really a projection of their own mistrust. They're disloyal, ungrateful, ingratitude. This attitude, which is really towards God, is one in which they focus on what they think should be done for them and how much, and not on how much has already been done. There's unhealthy idealism. Methods, standards, and programs become more important than people, more important than unity or correct attitudes. People with a soft spirit might be religious and even have the word of the Lord at times. Unlike David, we do not see Saul seeking the Lord except when he was desperate. He sought God through Samuel. After his disobedience to God in the matter of the Amalekites in 1 Samuel 15, when he was told to completely destroy them as well as their animals, he didn't do it, and he was confronted by Samuel, God's prophet. He first blamed the people. He then said he kept the animals to make a sacrifice unto the Lord. At this point, Samuel said, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idol worship. Because you have rejected the word of Jehovah, he has also rejected you from being king." Saul then admits he has sinned and makes the following statement in 1 Samuel 15 and 30. Then he said, "I have sinned. Please honor me now before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, and I shall worship Jehovah your God." So look at how he was concerned about the elders and the people. He was consumed with fear of man and not truly repentant. The most telling part, though, is how he said to Samuel, "And I shall worship Jehovah your God. Not my God or our God, but your God." Yet this same Saul in 1 Samuel 19, 23 and 24 prophesied, "Hear the word. Saul left for Ramah. But as he walked along, the Spirit of God took control of him and he started prophesying. Then when he reached prophet's village, he stripped off his clothes and prophesied in front of Samuel. He dropped to the ground and lay there naked all day and night." That's how the saying started. Is Saul now a prophet? A Saul-controlling spirit will have a religious spirit, but lacking in relationship. There was no relationship there with him. Believes that the end justifies the means. Blames others. Can be rebellious, stubborn, arrogant, and proud. Now, when I'm reading all this, if you recognize any of this in yourself, repent. And if you recognize this in someone else, don't be an unholy judgment towards them, but just recognize what it is and pray. Operates in rebellion, which is like witchcraft. Stubbornness as iniquity, even making God into his own image. Saul is remorseful, but does not truly repent. Saul controls by fear, intimidation, emotional manipulation, shame, put downs, punishment, rejection, or failure. Even Samuel, a mighty prophet of God, was scared of Saul. In 1 Samuel 16:2, we see the following, as Samuel had been told to go anoint a new man king. Samuel answered, "If I do that, Saul will find out and have me killed." "Take a calf with you," the Lord replied. "Tell everyone that you've come to offer it as a sacrifice to me." Over and over, David had to flee Saul because Saul was going to kill him. Saul uses people to make him look good. So people who are operating in the spirit, they use people to make them look good. David made Saul look good. He killed Goliath and won victories. Saul gave him a high position, and David went to battle. So upon his return, for what David did was celebrated as follows. 1 Samuel 18:7. They sang, "Saul has killed 1,000 enemies, and David has killed his 10,000. Saul couldn't handle this. 1 Samuel 18:8, this song made Saul very angry. And he thought, "They are saying that David's killed 10 times more enemies than I ever did. Next, they will want to make him king." Saul must win at all cost. He only feels important giving orders. He cannot celebrate the success and exaltation of others. Saul was angry at the attention given to David by the women singing about David. He was unholy, prideful, and intent on being number one. The Saul spirit brings inferiority and low self-esteem, causing suspicion. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David but had left Saul. Saul's people under the influence of the Saul spirit that have partnered are afraid of people who they see have the anointing of God. People with Saul spirits can have outbursts of rage that are deadly. This anger is typically reserved for those that are closest to him. Out of nowhere, Saul, who was peaceful, would throw spears at David. They're afraid of other people's success. If this Saul spirit cannot get rid of a perceived adversary, it will cause the person it's controlling to withdraw, to put up walls, to give the cold shoulder, or the silent treatment. Saul was a liar, a deceiver, and a manipulator. Saul lacked integrity. He broke his promises. He broke his promise to David regarding his daughter. Saul was supposed to give David his oldest daughter, Merah, but instead, he married him to Michal. He promised Jonathan that he would not kill David, but tried to pin David to the wall with his spear. Pretending to love, he tried to kill. This kind of behavior can cause confusion in their victims. Saul's paranoia led to territory defense against David, who actually loved Saul and honored him as king. There can be an uproar everywhere they go. Everyone around Saul walked on eggshells. They don't have peace. They keep things stirred up. They are constantly at war. 1 Samuel 16:14, the spirit of the Lord had left Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord was terrifying him. Saul was at war with the Philistines for as long as he lived. Whenever he found a good warrior or a brave man, Saul made him join his army. Saul demands loyalty, even when he is wrong. In 1 Samuel 20:30, we can see that Saul was upset with Jonathan because of his love for David. A person with the Saul spirit does not want their loved ones to have close friends. Any confrontation or disagreement they will receive as disloyalty. They have the all or none thinking of a dysfunctional family. They see people as either for them or against them. They will react to honest differences of opinion with anger or the silent treatment. They will not like you if you disagree with them. As they force people to choose sides, they cause division and disunity. Although Saul demanded total loyalty, he betrayed his own son Jonathan, David, and most of all the Lord. In 1 Samuel 22:18, 21, Saul had 85 priests of the Lord killed. A person with a Saul spirit cannot affirm others and may dishonor them publicly. Saul even tried to kill his own son Jonathan. Saul admits at one point that he has dealt wickedly with David. His behavior doesn't change, and he became driven under compulsion to eliminate David by jealousy and insanity. 1 Samuel 22:7 through 8, he resorts to the flesh, soul power, manipulation, and schemes of man in order to keep his kingdom. Saul hears only what he wants to hear. In 1 Samuel 24:9, David, Samuel, and the priest Ahimelech, all godly men, tried to explain David's innocence, and Saul would not hear. People with Saul's spirits can be perfectionist, demanding, and judgmental. They cannot receive love, and therefore they can't give love. Their worth and identity are tied to the roles and performance. How they are perceived is more important than who they are. Impossible standards are set. Often, they cannot delegate if they are the only ones who could do something right. So now we learned a little bit about the Saul spirit and its effects. I want to talk to you about a spirit that can be received as a result of those damaged by a Saul spirit. And it's an orphan spirit. Many of God's people know their natural parents, but were in effect abandoned because of the behavior or neglect of these broken people. Of course, if you're one that never knew one or more of your parents, this could apply to you as well. Perhaps you only rarely sense God's presence. This could be a result of being orphaned, even spiritually. A spiritual orphan, he feels alone all the time. Feels like they don't have a place in the Father's heart. That place where they know that they are affirmed, protected, and provided for. That place that a child knows that they can receive the love that their father has for them. They feel as if they don't belong, full of fear, anxiety, and insecurity. They cannot receive the father's love because they've been personally abused, hurt, rejected, and wounded by their earthly fathers or by those in authority over them. They can be dysfunctional because they lack the basic trust needed to have a healthy relationship. They find themselves battling with fear, control issues, independence, and pride. They're not able to have intimate relationships because they feel unlovable and unloved. They don't feel that they deserve to be loved and comforted. Like the Saul spirit, they operate out of insecurity and jealousy. They're jealous of the success of others, and they rejoice when others fail because it makes them feel better about themselves. They serve God in order to earn His love. They constantly strive in vain, in a vain attempt to be loved more because of their achievements, their ministry, or their career. Many times one with an orphan spirit will try to medicate the deep internal alienation through physical stimulation. This can include sex, alcohol, drugs, work, excessive ministry, food, anything to push it down, push away their sense of alienation and loneliness and their lack of self-worth. Often going from man to man, relationship to relationship, trying to please a man because they couldn't please their fathers. They can also be caught up in a life of narcissism and self-indulgence. A life that takes because it takes. It just wants because they were never given to. A life driven by a need for perceived success. and the affirmation that comes with it. The orphan spirit is self-protecting because they feel unsure about their position. Uncovered and unprotected, they are often defensive and lash out first in order to protect themselves. This orphan spirit is deeply rooted in self-preservation. This occurs when you obsess with protecting things that you're afraid of losing. A child tends to resemble its parents. The orphans from Saul are also manipulating, they're controlling, they have fits of rage, uncontrollable anger, can be overly competitive with the need to outdo others in order to feel important. We need to know that our Abba Father, He's always been there. Even when our daddies weren't there, He was there. He was there in your hurts, in your disappointments. He's here now. We were briefly loaned to human parents for a few years, and they were supposed to have showered us with love that would reflect God. Yeah. That was God's intention. Yeah. It was. If your family failed in that responsibility, you need to recognize, you need to forgive them, and you need to go on and receive God's love. God is the only Father that can never fail. God is pure, He's holy, and He's full of permanent love for all of us that will receive Him. He has kept us alive with His mercy and His grace, and He will never forsake us, ever. Let go. We've got to let go of the resentment, of the failure of our own wounded parents who were just wounded kids, who grew up and wounded their own kids. Instead, rejoice in the wonderful love of our Father, God, our Daddy. God is not the cause of our problems, but He is the answer. He's the only answer. Jesus Christ is the wounded one. He became wounded so that we could be healed. He knows how our emotions can be injured. He was tempted in every way that we've been tempted. God the Father sent Jesus into the world to be our bridge between us and the healing love of our Father that flows from our Father. So look at what David did as he cried out to the Father in the following Psalms. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. Save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groanings all the night. Make I my bed to swim, I water my couch with tears. My eye is consumed because of grief, it waxeth cold because of all of mine enemies. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication, and the Lord will receive my prayers. So let all my enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. And I just want you to know, when we're talking about enemies here, we're not talking about people. We're talking about demons. People have partnered with demons. And that's what we need to be thinking about here. So in Psalm 52:1, a song of David, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul and said unto him, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischief like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteous. Thou lovest all devouring words, O deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. So, this could apply to you directly in the life you are living right now. You at this moment may be married to, working for, or in a church with leadership suffering from this Saul syndrome. It could be situations that are not life-threatening, so it would be better to see the enemy defeated and the captive set free by staying until you see the victory, unless there's physical abuse. Remember, we have been wounded by wounded people. We can make the choices by the grace of our Lord to break the cycle. First of all, you need to repent of any sin that you have in your life. We'll do that. Any resentment, unforgiveness, unholy judgment, as God leads us. We're going to let God be the judge. He will judge righteously and will not be hindered by your hanging on to your charges against another human being. By refusing to cast judgment and release mercy, you cancel judgment against yourself and you receive mercy. We can acknowledge to God that we have been hurt and grieved by a relationship. We can thank God that He has or will use what has happened to us to cause us to know Him in a greater measure as our own husband or father as we draw closer to Him in our wounded state. So we're going to stand on this promise in Joel 2:25. I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. We have to persevere in prayer. This can be a long war, but if we don't quit, we're going to win. In the story of Saul and David, after David was king, there was still resistance from the house of Saul. But as David persevered, the house of Saul grew weaker, and the house of David grew stronger. We set righteous boundaries. We do what Jesus did. Only the will of the Father. So we ask the Father, how much of the relationship do we want to continue in these unhealthy boundaries? We're going to take some lessons from David's response to Saul. We're going to meet pride with humility. We're going to turn away wrath with a soft answer. David would not wear Saul's armor. He was not going to imitate Saul at all. David knew the Father intimately. David did not throw spears back at Saul. He was not going to return evil for evil. David honored God's anointing even when Saul was not acting worthily. David spared Saul's life because of mercy and meekness while Saul still tried to kill David. David let God vindicate him and let God deal with Saul. What if you discover that you're the controller with the Saul syndrome? Some of us may have been affected by this spirit as a child. Any of us could have inherited this spirit in the form of a generational curse. The first step in breaking the cycle of the Saul syndrome and all other demonic bondage is to admit where we are and what is being done to us or by us. Then we begin to unlearn the works in our lives that are not from the foot of the cross. Renounce all dark works. Forgive. Be forgiven. and be set free. Many times the enemy's works are hidden from us and are only revealed when we bind the enemy from interfering and ask the Lord to reveal issues in Jesus' name. Many times we find deliverance happens when we just submit to the Lord and say, if it's in me, Lord, I want it out. So, Father, we're getting ready to go into some deliverance and some confessions, renouncing. And so I just want y'all to repeat after me, if you would, if you're willing. Jesus, I thank you for authority over all. I thank you, Lord, that we have been given authority over all the power of the enemy to trample upon serpents and scorpions, and nothing shall harm us, according to Luke 10:19. I thank you, Lord, that whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. So now, in the name of Jesus, I bind all interference with this deliverance to come. I bind the strong man over myself and every family represented here. I forbid all backlash and retaliation in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father God, for the necessary angels needed for this battle today that are here to push back fallen angels, demons, powers, principalities, and all other enemy agents that would hinder this work today. I apply the blood of Jesus to myself, from the top of my head to the bottom of our feet. I thank you, Lord, that I hear your voice, and no other voice shall I hearken to. Holy Spirit, I invite you to have your way. Flood us with the truth of the Lord, because it's the truth we know that sets us free. This battle is won not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit, Lord Jesus. Yahweh, let your kingdom come and your will be done in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe you died on the cross for me and rose again from the dead. You redeemed me by your blood, and I belong to you. I want to live for you. I confess all my sins, known and unknown. I'm sorry for them all. I renounce them all. I forgive all others as I want you to forgive me. Forgive me now and cleanse me with your blood. Thank you for the blood of Jesus, which cleanses me from all sin. I come to you now as my deliverer. You know my special needs, the thing that binds, that torment, that which defiles, that evil spirit, those unclean spirits. I claim the promise of your word that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. I call upon you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver me and set me free. I renounce you, Satan, and all your works. I loose myself from you in the name of Jesus. And I command you to leave me now in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive my ancestors and descendants and anyone else that has sinned against me. And I ask you to forgive and bless them with all spiritual blessings. Forgive me my many sins, and I forgive myself. for sins against my body. I break all curses, hexes, charms, spells, jinxes, psychic powers, vexes, effigy image assignments, locutions, visualization, and demonic ties that bind in Jesus' name. I break all demonic soul ties in the name of Jesus caused by people operating in the soul spirit by being orphaned by witchcraft, sorcery, and bewitchment, as well as sexual sin in Jesus' name. I command all foreign souls to go where they belong. And I thank you, Lord, for restoring any fragmented parts of my mind, my will, and emotions. Lord Jesus, I ask you to stir up any demons trying to hide, even in my subconscious, so that they would be forced to the light of your glory and be cast out in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for pleading our cause, and it is all asked and declared in Jesus' name. I renounce the Saul spirit and all light spirits associated with Saul, including controller, religious spirit, arrogant, finger pointing, spirit of blame, fear of man, rebellious, stubborn, false repentance, controlled by fear, controlled by intimidation, manipulator, backstabber, jealousy, pride, power hungry, need to be seen, need to be heard, insecure, suspicious, paranoid, troublemaker, striving, strife, schemer, whoremonger, perpetual war, explosive anger and rage, the threefold cord of anger, hatred, and murder, untrustable, distrust, trust breacher, covenant breaker, truce breaker, confusion, uproar, rebellion as witchcraft, stiff neck, infirmity, that spirit that demands loyalty, divisive, disunity, separator, dishonoring, demeaning, deceived, deceiver, deceiving, unteachable, unsubmitted, unteachable, perfectionist, demanding, judgmental, performer, performance, critical, mean-spirited, murderous, antichrist, all spirits that would attack God's anointed, territory defenders, witchcraft, divination, usurper of spiritual authority, rejection, self-idolatry, stubbornness as iniquity. I break the curses caused by my sin or the sins of my ancestors that allow all these spirits that are named and all unnamed spirits that have operated against me in Jesus' name. I renounce all the works of the flesh that they influenced in Jesus' name. I agree that they now have to go in Jesus' name. Okay, now we're going to cast them out. So I'm going to start calling these spirits out. And y'all breathe. Just will them out. Get rid of them. So in the name of Jesus, I command every spirit, unholy spirit, unclean spirit, to leave God's people now in Jesus' name. Controller, you have to go. I break the power of the religious spirit. You have to go in Jesus' name. Arrogant, finger pointer, Spirit of blame, fear of man, come up and out of God's people right now in Jesus' name. Up and out. Will them out, people. Come on. Come out in Jesus' name. Fear of man, rebellious, stubborn, false repentance, come up and out in Jesus' name. We break your power. Control by fear. Control by intimidation. Manipulator, come up and out in Jesus' name. Backstabber, go in Jesus' name. Jealousy and pride, come up and out in Jesus' name. We break your power in Jesus' name. Power hungry, need to be seen, come up and out in Jesus' name. Need to be heard, we break your power in Jesus' name. Insecure, suspicious, paranoid, come up and out in Jesus' name. Troublemaker, striving and strife, we break your power in Jesus' name. Up and out. Schemer, whoremonger, perpetual war, go in Jesus' name. Up and out in Jesus' name. Explosive anger and rage, up and out in Jesus' name. We break your power. The threefold cord of anger, hatred, and murder, we break your power and we command you to go now in Jesus' name. Untrustable, distrust, trust breacher, come up and out in Jesus' name. We break your power. Covenant breaker, we break your power in Jesus' name. Truth breaker, we break your power in Jesus' name. Confusion, uproar, up and out in Jesus' name. Rebellion as witchcraft, you have to go in Jesus' name. All rebellion, go in Jesus' name. Stiff neck, go in Jesus' name. Infirmity, we break your power and infirmity, up and out. Up and out in Jesus' name. That spirit that demands loyalty, we break your power in Jesus' name. Come up and out of God's people in Jesus' name. Divisive, disunity, separator, come up and out in Jesus' name. Dishonoring and demeaning, we break your power in Jesus' name. Deceived, demeaning, deceiver, deceiving, unteachable, we break your power in Jesus' name. Up and out in Jesus' name. Judgmental, performer, performance, critical, mean-spirited, murderous, antichrist, go now in Jesus' name. We break your power up and out. All spirits that would attack God's anointing, we break your power now in Jesus' name. Territory defender, we break your power up and out in Jesus' name. Witchcraft and divination, we break your power in Jesus' name. Up and out. Come up and out in Jesus' name. Usurper of spiritual authority, we break your power and we command you to come out in Jesus' name. Rejection, self-idolatry, we break your power. All idolatry, we break your power in Jesus' name. Stubbornness as iniquity, up and out. We break your power in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Say, Lord, I thank you that you love me. I receive your love. Let the power of your blood cleanse me from an orphan spirit. Baptize my heart with the fire of your love. Let the fire of your love burn away the rejection and the fear. Let the fire of your love purge away the dross of an orphan spirit. Nothing can quench your love for me. Your word says that you will not leave us as orphans, but you will come to us. So Holy Spirit, come and pour the love of God into my heart. Holy Spirit, teach me how to receive the love of the Father. Empower me with the truth of your love. I don't want to just survive, but will thrive and enjoy the abundant life that you have for me. In Jesus' name, I renounce making fig leaves for myself. All false covering. I renounce living in fear and shame. I will no longer
hide from your presence.
I humble myself.
Your word says
that unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it will not bear fruit.
I choose
to die to self.
I will not only be concerned with my best interest,
but I will also use
my authority
to benefit
the well-being of others.
I shake myself free
from passivity
and indifference.
Shake yourself free
from all passivity and indifference.
Shake yourself free.
Say, I am
a
daughter of the King.
I am
not an orphan.
I
don't have to perform to receive your love.
I
receive the spirit of adoption,
and
I cry, Abba, Father.
I
loose myself
from
all insecurity and fear.
I
loose myself
from
self-preservation.
Forgive
me
for
being obsessed
with
trying to keep
things I have
obtained,
from
striving
and
unhealthy
competition.
No
longer
will
I compete
to survive.
I
have favor with
the Lord.
I find
security in
you, Lord.
You
are my heavenly
Father.
You
provide
for me.
You
protect me.
And
you
want
to be with
me.
You
enjoy my
company.
You
have given
me
a new
name
in
the family
of God.
I
will no
longer
try
to save
my life,
but
lose it
in
the arms of
your love.
I now
break
the
generational
curse
of
the orphan.
I forgive
my ancestors
in this matter.
I renounce
every spirit
and
all works
of the flesh
that
would cause my
bloodline
to
abandon
children,
even
spiritually, if
not physically.
I
break
unholy
soul ties
with
everyone
who has abandoned
me.
I command
foreign
souls to go
where they belong.
And
I call
mine back to
me,
covered
in the
blood of Jesus.
And
I thank
you,
Lord,
for
restoring
my soul.
I break
the power
of
all
the
resentment
towards
them.
I
break
the power
of
abandonment
and
rejection
over
my life.
I break
the power
of selfishness,
manipulation,
and
fear of
abandonment
in
Jesus'
name.
Now
I command
all
the spirits
tied
to the
orphan
to
leave
me now
in
Jesus'
name.
Now I'm going
to start
calling them out.
Orphan,
abandonment,
rejection,
up and out
of God's people
in Jesus'
name.
Fear,
fear
of abandonment,
unwanted,
unloved.
We break
your power
in
Jesus'
name.
Unloving,
unworthy,
unholy
competition.
Come
up and out
of God's people
in
Jesus'
name.
Self-preservation,
selfish,
self-centered.
We
break your
power.
In Jesus'
name,
wounded
and
brokenhearted,
we
break your
power
up and out
of God's people,
up and out,
wounded
heart,
false
covering,
vain
imaginations,
you have
to go.
We
break your
power
in
Jesus'
name.
Vanity,
striving,
and
shame,
we
break your
power
up and out
of God's
people,
up and
out.
Withdrawal,
cold
shoulder,
silent
treatment,
up and
out
in
Jesus'
name.
Obsession,
fear
of loss
and
disfavor,
we
break
your power
in
Jesus'
name and
command
you
to leave.
Unprotected,
dislike,
we
break
your power
in
Jesus'
name.
Up
and out,
perfection,
addictions,
all addictions
go
in
Jesus'
name.
We break
your power
in
Jesus'
name.
Desperate
to please
a man,
we
break
your
power
in
Jesus'
name.
Not
valued,
disrupted,
we
break
your
power.
Come
up and out
now
in
Jesus'
name.
All
arrested
development,
we
break your
power
and
we
command
you
to leave
right
now
in
Jesus'
name.
Uncovered,
come
up
and out
in
Jesus'
name.
We
break
your
power.
false identities and need to stand out. We break your power in Jesus' name. Desperate for attention, we break your power in Jesus' name. Need to be seen, we break your power in Jesus' name. Need to be heard, we break your power in Jesus' name. Up and out. Come up and out of God's people. Isolated, alienated, afraid of God, we break your power in Jesus' name. Vagabond, we break the power of vagabond in Jesus' name. Up and out in Jesus' name. Misfit, wanderer, we break your power in Jesus' name. Restless, infirmities, go in Jesus' name. Failure mechanism, we break your power in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All right, y'all ready? Put your hands up in there. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to fill me up with your Spirit, the Spirit of Yahweh, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Daddy, most of all, I ask you to fill me with your love, your Spirit, which would cause me to know how much I'm loved, so that I can love others like you would have me love them. Thank you, Lord, for my deliverance. I trust you to show me who I really am, who I'm supposed to be, and how valuable that you have made me. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.